Now, our subject today, no compromise. No compromise. Now, that's quite contrary to what the world does. For example, in the Middle East, President Bush is trying to get each side to compromise. He wants the Israelis to give a little, and he wants the Palestinians to give a little, and they will come together. In the United States Congress, in my humble judgment, 95% of their work is compromise. With a little money here and there. But our subject, no compromise. And by way of background, turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. No compromise. God does not want his people to compromise. Establishing a background. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh that thou mayst bring forth my people. And that expression, my people, is found 12 times in the book of Exodus. My people. Do you know we're God's people? I'm so glad I'm one of God's people. Not those folks out in the world. John chapter 17. Verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gave them to me, and they have kept my word. We belong to the Lord. We are the Lord's people. 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 6. Now already you have noted my habit. In terms of a lot of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. This body that we have here belongs to the Lord. We are his people. Now, certain things are implied. If my body belongs to the Lord, I can't go where I want to go. Or at least I should. I can't even put on my body what I want. It's his body. I can't even eat what I want. It's his body. I've got to be careful what I put in him. The implications are very, very serious. The story is told of a young couple, recently married. And in New York City, they have at Rockefeller Center a Christmas program. I forget the name of the program, but these are people that sing and dance, very famous. And here this young couple, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was very anxious to go to see the Rockettes, they call them. And he said, no, we shouldn't go there. And you know how it is with the baby. All you have to do is weep a little bit, you know. And his heart is moved. And he said, all right, you go. And he went to the ticket agent, "Three tickets, please." She said, "But there are only two of us." He said, "What about the Lord?" He said, "Let's go home. We belong to him." The next thought that we want to develop in chapter 5. Verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Let my people go. And you will find this expression several times in the book of Exodus. But what are they to go for? Why did he want them free? Why let my people go? For what purpose? And we will find that in chapter 7, verse 16. Exodus 7:16. Thou shalt say unto him, "The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness." Why did the Lord want these people to be free? That they may serve him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Oh, by the way, you find that expression, "Let my people go, that they may serve me and worship me," several times in Exodus. For the sake of time, we won't turn to them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. "Let my people go, that they may serve me." And when God frees us, he frees us for a purpose, to serve him. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. "They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had among you." Now, how that you turn to God from idols to serve. All scriptural separation has three parts. Turn to, from, and for. Turn to God from idols to serve. And the question arises, are we as God's people serving? What am I doing for the Lord? What can I say I have done for the Lord today? Am I doing more for him today than I did last week? He has called us to serve him. Let my people go, that they may serve. And now we come to a very important part of our discussion. Exodus chapter 3. Verse 18. "And they shall hearken to thy voice. Thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey." 3 days' journey. Chapter 5, verse 3. "And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey." Why 3 days? Why not 2? Why not 5? Why not seven? Seven is the number of the divine. Why not 10? 10 commandments, not suggestions, the divine standard. Why not 40? The Lord was in the wilderness 40 days and 12. Why 3 days? What is the significance of the number of 3? We all know that. Let's confirm that with a little scripture. And wherever you find numerals in the scripture, there are two aspects, two ways of looking at that number. We're going to look at the first way, which we're all familiar with. Matthew 28, please. Already you know the verse. The significance of 3. Why 3 days journey? Matthew 28, verse 19. The significance of the numeral 3. Go ye therefore and teach or disciple all nations, baptizing them. Please don't read what the Bible says. In the name, one name, not names, one name. Look at it. Don't look at me, beloved. Look at the book. It says, in the name, not name, singular, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 3 persons, 1 individual. The name of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 3 stands therefore for the Trinity. 2 Corinthians chapter 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and communion of the Holy Spirit. There we have it again. The 3 in 1. Daniel Webster, we're all familiar with him, aren't we? He was walking with a friend one day, and they passed a church building, and the friend said to Daniel Webster, you know something? I just can't understand the Trinity. And Daniel Webster said to him, do you know divine arithmetic? He said, no, well then you can't understand. Well, we read in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are high above the earth, so are my thoughts above yours. That's advanced mathematics. And the Lord does that. Advanced math. I remember at college level, we had Professor Gill. Oh, he was quite a mathematician. And these fellows were coming out from class, all smiles. And I said to one of them, what is there in mathematics to smile about? Excuse me, Craig. Professor Gill has just proved that 1 and 1 do not always make 2. I said, that's in the book. The 2 shall be 1. Remember that? Way back in Genesis? And whenever you want advanced studies, you go to this book. And if you want to understand the Trinity, you've got to know divine mathematics. But then there is another aspect to the number 3. 3 days journey, turn with me please to the book of Hosea. Chapter 6.
And verse 2, Hosea 6 and 2. The significance of 3 days' journey. Why 3 days? Hosea 6, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live. That's easy, isn't it? 3 stands for resurrection. You couldn't find it any plainer than that. And beloved, let me just say this. Whenever you want to know the definition of a word or an expression, look in the Bible. You'll find it there. What God means is right here in this book. 3 days' journey, complete separation. But let's look again at another 3. Matthew 12, please. Matthew 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Resurrection. 3 days' journey. Complete separation from the world. Walking, as we get in 1 Corinthians, in newness of life. John chapter 15. Verses 18 and 19. If the world hate you, now, I don't know how many of you have experienced the world's hatred, but I have. I have told you before of one classmate who said, I hated you so much I could have killed you. The Lord just wouldn't let him do it. But the world doesn't love us. Oh, sometimes they act real nice. Now, don't be deceived. The world doesn't love us because the Bible says so. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world therefore hates you. And we are to be completely separated from the world. No compromise. Now that we've gotten that part straight, we want to consider some of the devices of the enemy to get us to compromise. There are at least 3. We will only discuss 1 this afternoon. Exodus chapter 8, verse 25. The Lord said, 3 days' journey. Exodus 8, 25. Compromise number 1. Verse 25 of Exodus 8. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye sacrifice to your God. Where? In the land. Don't go 3 days. Fraternize. be one with all the people. Aren't they telling us that today? And this nonsense, and that's all it is, the Christian Coalition. Have you heard of it? This is a mixture of evangelicals, Catholics, Mormons, and all the others, all coming together. Well, you know they're going to do that, but I'm not going to be here when they do that. They're going to do that under the beast. They'll be a one-world religion. They'll all mix together. But thank the Lord, I'll be in heaven. And so will you. Thoughts like these should give us joy. They're ultimately going to accomplish their purpose, but I won't be here to see. I'll be in heaven looking down at them. Sacrifice in the land. Don't be so different. Be one of the boys. Be one of the girls. Fraternize. Well, they used to tell me that. They used to talk about joining a fraternity. Why don't you join this fraternity and the other? Fraternize. Be one of the boys. No, no. No, no. 3 days' journey. Pharaoh says sacrifice in the land. No separation. Do you know that if you don't practice separation, you're going to get in trouble? Toys R Us. Most of us are familiar with that store. I had a little great-grandson, and every time he passed that store, he would cry. He wanted to go to Toys R Us. Well, go into Toys R Us. Ask them where the boat division is. Go to the boat division. Pick out the smallest boat you can find or the largest boat you can find. Go out to the Potomac River and put that boat on the water. And it'll do well until water gets in the boat. Until the separation is marred, that boat will do well. And we as believers are in the world but not of the world. And if we allow the world to come into us, our separation is marred. And our service will be of no value. This one I've told several times. Many people like to watch surgical operations on TV. Am I right? Yeah. Something fascinates them about surgery. Like to watch people operate. Have you noticed, and I'm sure you have, that when the surgeon operates, he puts gloves on his hands? I wonder why. He wants to separate his hand from the diseased tissues. And you know, from time to time in sewing, that glove is punctured. And usually the first person to notice it is the nurse. That's why you need a good nurse in the field with you. And we have a friend, cardiovascular surgeon, and he was operating. His glove was punctured. He didn't know it until the nurse called attention to it. Not only the glove, but the skin was punctured. And he was sick for 6 weeks. The disease that the patient had, he acquired. Failure of separation. And beloved, if we mix in the world, we're going to get into trouble. We will be ineffective. Matthew 6 and 24. There must be complete separation. Matthew 6 and 24. No man. And sisters, don't think the Bible is biased because it says no man. You see, if you know basic English, you know that that's an all-inclusive word. Includes the women, children, and everybody. It amazes me, these people that criticize the Bible. You would wonder, did they ever go to school? They read and absolutely don't know what they're reading.
No man, verse 24, can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot. It didn't say you must not. Didn't say you should not. It says you cannot serve God and mammon. You're either separated unto the Lord or you're not separated. And you can't serve God and mammon. 3 days journey. Complete separation. No compromise. You get the same thing in Luke 16 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 21. Let's look at that. I like to compare scripture with scripture. You know, when God says something once, it's important. But when he says it more than once, it becomes even more important, if that's possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. You cannot, didn't say you should not, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Separation must be complete. We are either separated or we are not separated. I ask you, beloved, are you separated? How many days? Two? How about three? Complete separation. Now, that doesn't mean, pardon me, that when you go to school, you don't talk to the person next to you, and when you're in the laboratory, you don't share experiences one with the other. I had some wonderful experiences in school with the unsaved. There was one fellow there, he was majoring in physics. I tell you, he was good. I learned more from him than I did from the instructor. So it doesn't mean that you don't talk to the unsaved. If you don't talk to them, how will you ever lead them to the Lord? It means that we are not to be intimately associated with them. I've told you of a nephew of mine who told me he was interested in soul winning. And he said to me, after school, I would walk along with the boys and say, let's drop in the beer garden and talk about the Lord over a beer. How do you do that? You can't. You'd be ineffective. Separation must be complete. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Our brother has been carrying us through the Kings recently, and we have touched on this, but we'll mention it again. 1 Kings chapter 22, and verse 2. It came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Who was Jehoshaphat? He was one of seven godly kings in Judah. A godly man, a man whom God prospered. Came down to the king of Israel. Verse 3. The king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye not that Ramoth Gilead is ours, and we will be still, and we be still? Take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he, who was that he? Ahab. And who was Ahab? Most wicked king of Israel up to his time. A godly king and a wicked king.
This wicked king said unto Jehoshaphat, will you go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? Now notice what Jehoshaphat said. A man of God. Notice what he said. Jehoshaphat said to the king, I am as thou art. Is that true?
No, he's right.
We are not as the ungodly. Not better, but better off.
We're going to heaven. We don't say we're any better than anybody else, but definitely better off.
Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, or rather, verse 4. Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses.
Terrible. That's awful.
What was he trying to get away from? A godly man. And beloved, we are not like the folks in the world. And don't try to look like them. And don't try to act like them.
I know back in New York, there was one young fellow there. His parents were in the meeting in fellowship. He was brought up in the meeting.
Came to one of our Labor Day conferences and brought a few friends. And whenever I saw him, he was off somewhere with his friends. He was never with the meeting. Apparently, he was ashamed of the meeting and didn't want to be identified with the Lord's people. Don't let that happen to you, beloved. Stand firm for the Lord Jesus Christ. No compromise. There's an old expression, probably you've heard it. If you hoot with the owls at night, you cannot soar with the eagles in the daytime. Does that make sense?
Sure.
We must maintain our separation. Jehoshaphat. Oh,
time is about up.
You know, the ungodly have some expressions, and they sound good. But don't be deceived. There is this expression in the world, peaceful coexistence. Doesn't that sound good?
Boy, that man must be very learned to put those two words together. You gotta be real smart to put them together.
Peaceful coexistence. That's what they're trying to do in the Middle East.
And as I mentioned, that's what they're trying to do in Congress.
Peaceful coexistence? No. Impossible. Imagine that you are in this room, that all the doors are closed and locked, all the windows closed and sealed, and you are in here alone with a cobra over there. Can you exist peacefully with that cobra?
There's no such thing. No such thing.
And when they invite you, be one of the fellows, be one of the girls, fraternize, be sociable, mix with us, have a drink with us, don't do it.
There is no such thing as peaceful coexistence. Now, I'm usually overtime. This time I'm stopping on time. And we'll continue in the will of the Lord on Friday, on Wednesday. Thank you. Old age is catching up with me. Now I'm going to ask that we sing in closing. Stand up for Jesus. No compromise.
Now that number in our hymn book is 589. But
now listen to me closely.
We want to sing it to the tune of 590. The words, 589, the tune, 590.
And we'll sing for the sake of time, the first and last verses. Stand up for Jesus, beloved. Don't compromise. There's danger and death. I'm sorry. Danger and death in compromise. 590.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer long. From victory unto victory, his army shall be lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord in.
Did you like that? Beautiful. I believe the Lord is well pleased with that. Let's do the last verse just as well.
Stand up, for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day, the night of battle, the next, the victor song.
To him
that overcometh the Lord, shall be he with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
I often ask the question I ask again. Aren't you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Yes. Shall we pray? Holy Father, we bow in thy presence divine. We come through our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for salvation. We give thee thanks for an eternity to be spent with thee. We thank thee for thy word, for the privilege of remembering the Lord even this morning, for the words that we have heard during the Sunday school lesson and during the ministry of thy word. May it be ours not to compromise. Dismiss us now with thy blessing, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.